Okay, hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our afternoon class. Start from this class that we are scheduled three sections to talk about marriage. However, talking about marriage to a bunch of kids is a little bit awkward. Because from my personal opinion, you are still some distance from input any effort or thoughts in marriage. Okay? But however, we can still talk about some topics related to prepare yourself for a sound marriage in the future. Okay, so that will be where we focus more about. According to our finding, according to what we observe, in this generation, young people, you have to be able to safely cross four thresholds in order to survive in your spiritual journey. What is a threshold? What is threshold?
The place where they smack what?
Smack the weed. I almost better actually. I almost better verb.
Okay. What is it? It's like a door.
It's the top of the door.
The button. Yeah. It's at the button of the door. So threshold. In the past, that when you have a door, there is a piece of wood that's a little bit higher. So when you want to pass the door, you have to make sure that you lift up your feet to cross it. If you don't, you trip, you fall. Okay, that's called threshold. Okay, so you know that from our observation, there are four major thresholds in our spiritual journey. If you are able to safely cross the threshold without being tripped and fall and stumbled, of course, that doesn't guarantee a forever happily ever after. But the chance for you to survive in your spiritual journey become much, much, much higher. So there are four major causes or four major stages in your life that could severely endanger your salvation. The first one is happening in high school. Peer pressure. In high school, the impact of friendship becomes magnified, becomes something very major. When you were born as a baby, as young, as a little child, it's all about my parents. Okay? My father say, my mother say, da da da. Then once you go into elementary school, it become my teacher say, oh, I love my teacher, I like my teacher, she is the best teacher. Oh, so that's what happened to my kids. Like they will every day they will like draw cards. Anything that we have at home, they want to give to the teacher as well. So at elementary school, for them, teachers become everything. But once you pass junior high, once you enter junior high and high school, it becomes what? My friends. Once you enter into the so-called rebellious age, then you resent any authority figures, especially your parents and your teacher. Okay, so that's when a junior high or high school student, especially high school students, become first of all, rebel strongly against authority figure. Second, they try anything that they could in order to cling onto their friend. They want to be accepted. That's why you see that the way that you dress is following the trend of all your friends. The shoes that you put on, you wish, you want, you nag to get the same brand. For girls, when you find your friend are doing nail, you're like, oh, no, I'm going to have the same color. I'm going to draw minion on my finger. And you know, just look at your hairstyle, right? It's just whatever the, you know, that's very, not, well, I'm not saying it's acceptable, but it's very common. You just want to be accepted by your peer, by your friends, by your group. You need a sense of acceptance and belonging. That's high school. So high school is where peer pressure play the most, the strongest impact into your life. At this age, you are physically somewhat, physically mature, but mentally still not yet fully developed. Okay, so at this time is when people do a lot of stupid things that when they grow up, they look back and say, what am I thinking? That's the age. That's the age, okay? Physically, very much mature and adult. Mentally, not yet. Okay, that's high school. So high school, the greatest danger is that you have bad friend. That the peer pressure become very negative. That can totally distort your original concept of family, relationship, or God, serving God. Okay, so that's high school. And the second threshold is when you are in college. Usually college is the first time you truly taste so-called freedom and independence. Before college, most of the students are still governed over what, like still watching by the parents. Okay, so even though you go to school, but you know the teacher is there. When you come home, your parents are there. So you know you still have someone watching you, telling you what to do, tell you when to eat, do your homework, sleep early, don't play games, and then get up on time. You have all those kind of warning. But once you go to college, especially for those who stay in the dormitory, those who live outside, who stay in the dormitory, who is away from home, probably the first time that you are really away from home, that no one watching over you except the people that you hang out with around the same age. Your parents are not there. RE teacher are not there. Pastor are not there. So in college, the fear is the ability to be independent, which means self-control. So high school is peer pressure. College is self-control. That's the second threshold. If we are able to survive in college, knowing how to manage your own life, knowing when to do what, okay, then you should be able to survive. Okay. The worst thing is that in college, suddenly you realize that no one bugging you, no one tell you what to do, and suddenly you don't know what to do with your life anymore. Then usually that marks the big drop in both your grade and also your spirituality. Okay. So second one is self-control. Learn, see if you can be independent. And the fear thing is, the scary thing is, in our US, in our environment in the West, in the Western world, many, very often in college, if you don't survive, you die spiritually. That's the scary part. If you cannot be who you are, know who you are and be who you are, if you are unable to uphold your principle, then the chance could be that it will cause your spiritual life. Okay, so that's the second one. The third threshold is once you graduated. Finally, you are done with schooling, you graduate, you find a job, you start working, you start seeing money. Young people, ambitious, planning, future, goal, and achievements. You want to climb the corporate ladder. You want to be somebody significant. You want to dress up and taking the briefcase, enter into those skyscrapers. Ooh, very successful. Those are very deceiving. Been there, done that, no fun. Seriously, when I was in college, high school, college, You see how, especially grow up in New York, you see how people who dress up so professionally with a briefcase looking so success and entering into those huge building and then taking to the elevator that takes them up. I was like, one day I will work in there. It's so deceiving. It's not fun at all. You enter in, because you only see the outside part. You only see the part that they got into the elevator, right? You didn't see what happened after the elevator. You know what happened after that? You enter into the elevator seeing all the same faces. Everyone is just the same. That dress up properly, trying to pretend to be professional, holding a briefcase with nothing in there. And then they, only to like second floor. Yeah. And then they got out the elevator. They found their own cubicle, which is near the bathroom. There's no light, no natural light. There's no view. You are far away from window. I'm telling you that entry level, young people, usually average clerk, you don't have windows. Windows are for supervisors. So you have to earn your window. So sad. You have to earn your lining, okay? So that's what happened. Then you stay in your little small cubicle and doing the same thing whole day, repeat the same thing whole day. And then, since it's a big company, they control everything, including the time that you can take break, how many minutes you have for lunch, when can you stand up and use the toilet. You know that I was talking to a friend that was working for Boeing, and I asked him, oh, so what's your lunch break like? He said, 47 minutes. I was like, what? Why is it by 47 minutes? His lunch break is 47. I was like, why 47? He said, the computer calculates from my cubicle to the elevator, and then from my elevator to the cafeteria. So according to their calculations, 47 minutes. Everyone in different cubicle gets different time. I was like, that's so sad. He said, yeah, you are controlled. So no, it's not as fun. But young people do not know. Young people admire, envy that kind of so-called success or achievement in the world. So once you start working, you really want to be somebody. You admire those kind of life. You want to have a lavish car, like, you know, going to those business meeting, like become a somebody. You know, you really want that. So you will devote many, many hours for your so-called success. Okay? So the third threshold, the third danger for young people in your spiritual journey or in your life journey is that you devote so much into the world to the point that you neglect the sight of God, or you forgot. The original determination to love God, the first time you were so moved that you want to live and love Him and serve Him. You know what? Sometimes you get confused by the world. All your attention has been taken away. Now you just want to be successful, like everyone else. So that's the third danger, that losing focus because the attraction of the world. Okay? And that happened quite a lot for young people who newly graduate, who start their new career, that they feel that if I improve more, I will have a better future. Okay? Number four, if you are able to pass all three thresholds, all three of this, the influence of the peer pressure, and in college, the lacking of self-control. Number three, being misled into a wrong perspective of life when you are working. Usually, if we are able to pass these three, things will not be so bad until the time for you to get married. So the fourth threshold, which is, I would say, a very, very dangerous one, is that you found the wrong person in your life. You found the wrong person. I'm not saying that you find nobody. You try. You want to find someone to marry you. You try for a long time, but nobody would.
Nobody would. That's a different story. That just requires a lot of prayer.
Okay? That just requires a lot of prayer. And maybe changing our personality. Or, I don't know, more makeups.
I don't know. You know, unable to find someone is one thing. You just pray for God to provide for you.
But finding the wrong one is worse. It will leave you, engage you in a lifetime nightmare. Seriously. So, number four is, if you find the right person, marriage life is like heaven on earth. On the contrary, if you happen to impulsively make a choice without clear mind, you might pay a dear price with the entirety of your life. Okay, so that's the four threshold that young people need to be very careful with. So we will not, well, as we said earlier, we will not only focus on marriage because you are still so far away from it. Let's talk about high school. High school, if you are thinking about dating, marriage, future, spouse, relationship in high school, you think too much. Seriously. That means you are very still immature. When we talk about future, or talk about spouse, talking about marriage life, talking about relationship, you want to make sure one thing, sense of responsibility for yourself and for the other person as well. Okay? Would you like to marry someone who say to you, oh, I love you so much, but I will not take care of you? Vivian, will you do that? The guy, there's a guy, good looking, tall, 6'7". No. sorry. 5'7", 5'7". Yeah. You'll be, Vivian will be like, honey, where are you? Okay, so you know you have a good-looking guy, very charming, but he say to you that, you know what, I really like to be with you, but let's put this up front, I will never take care of you. Would it be okay? Good-looking though, good-looking. Charming. Chocolate and flower once a year. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. Not good. Ah, yeah. So demanding, right? You know that my wife earlier, when we first got married, my wife sent me a photo. She was holding a very, very beautiful decorated pillow. And under it says, high maintenance. I was like, okay, I got your point. I'm sending the money right over. High maintenance. Very demanding, huh? So once a year is not good. Okay. So you know what? In a relationship, commitment and responsibility, sense of responsibility is crucial for you to select your future spouse. And for high school, are you ready for such a commitment? Gentlemen, are you ready to take care of a family? You can even take care of yourself, right? See? Your mom still need to wake you up in the morning. No? Not anymore? Oh. But she need to cook for you?
Sometimes.
Okay. I don't like New York kids. They are too independent. Okay. Let's try someone else. Tim! Tim's like, I don't know. I need to ask my mom on that question. You know that a true relationship is all about commitment, willing to sacrifice. Okay? So for high school students, apparently that commitment is never possible. Never possible. Maybe you say, but they are high school sweethearts. Yes, they are. But have you checked on their divorce rate? You might see that there are many people in your school boy and girl in high school who are holding hands, acting very close and intimate, and always making promises like, honey, I will love you forever. And the next, and following week, he finds someone else. Right? You know, have you seen people with tattoo of a love, of a big heart? And then with a name that keep on being crossing out. I was like, how dumb? How dumb could you be to tattoo a girl's name on your shoulder, knowing that the next girl will see it and ask you to cross it out? And then you your arm become like cross out. And then you know that if you have another person, then you can play. Then you can, if you have another person that to play with you, then you can have, you can play tit-tat-toe, right? This is your arm. This is your arm, right? You can play tit-tat-toe on your arm. Seriously, why would you do that? People change, especially in high school. Nothing is certain in high school. There is no commitment in high school. So at this time, if there's anyone who guarantee or promise you a commitment, it's 99% irresponsible. Are there high school sweethearts? Yes. Out of the calculation, statistics counting, high school sweetheart end up become college sweetheart and end up married without divorce in this generation is about 2.7%. Which means that 100 couples, 100 high school sweethearts, 98 of them, either they break up or they divorce at the end. Is that a commitment? That's not a commitment. It's not a commitment. College sweetheart, a little bit higher, is about 17 to 20%. 17 to, if they are, if, because you know, in college, especially American, in college, they are finding their own, like working already. They are making money, they are making their own living, they are working. So yeah, they are more mature in facing their life. So college students end up together in relationship and end up married and able to last the marriage. Well, it's somewhere close to 20%. But we are looking at 80% of divorce rate. Better than 98, but still very high. 80% of divorce rate. So what are we talking about in here? The only thing we are trying to tell you is that if at this moment anyone wants to form a relationship, it's not out of commitment. It's not out of responsibility. It's not out of sincerity. It's only out of desire and lust. Okay? So sisters, especially sisters, brother at this age, we worry less. They only care about Pokemon Go. Okay? But for sisters at your age in high school, sometimes sisters are more sentimental, like more easily being persuaded by sweet words, chocolate and flowers. Right, Vivian? Every year. So you know what? Girls are easier to be touched, moved by some sentimental movements. Guys, they only want basketball and their cell phone, okay? So you have to be very careful. At your age, you might see or influenced by medias about those romance if you watch too much Korean drama. Korean drama, Japanese drama, whatever the drama, is about love, about, oh, you know what, this guy I met in the school, then one day, suddenly he became the prince from this country. Oh, this blind guy, once we are together, suddenly he regained his vision. Oh. You know that sometimes girls are easier to be persuaded by sweet words or some sentimental gesture or movement. But in high school, let me tell you, all the so-called romantic is only a cover-up. Only a cover-up for desire and lust. Okay? If someone really cares for you, they will wait for you. Isn't that so? If someone really loves you, they will respect you. Right? But in high school, what do they want? What do they want? What do they want out of relationship? Other than showing off, oh, I got a girl. See? Good looking one. Ah, so other than showing off is what? Physical pleasure. Isn't it? That's the only two things. No commitment. After you are together in school and then you go home to each other's home and ask mama to feed you. So you are not able to commit to anything. So relationship becomes what? It's only a game. A game of pleasure, a game of heart, playing with heart. Okay? So anyone in school, anyone outside in the world try to approach you and convince you that they really, they will love you to the end, they will take care of it. You know what? Just smack him on the face and tell him to back off. Because he's a liar. He's a liar. Okay? So, am I being too... Okay. Yeah, I am. Alright. So, for high school, when we talk about peer pressure, we are talking about around you in your environment. You are seeing that you are in a very degenerated, like all the way, no moral society. Seriously. Even in high school, you see how high school, your schoolmates, how like they were like intimate, right? They do whatever, holding hands or go all the way, like do whatever they want. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe, well, you are from an old boys' school. That's even worse when you see like boys holding hands, right? Do not envy on that. We will have a private talk after this. So you know what? In your environment, many people are demonstrating a lousy example, and the world is trying to lure you to follow. Satan wants to grab you, trap you, so that you will follow. Okay? So you are in a very lousy environment, and also peer pressure keep on telling you, come on, be like us. Let's do the same thing. Let's have some fun. Let's, you know, do whatever we want. Free, liberal. You know, that's what the world is telling you. And then this kind of pressure, when you see that other people are doing all these things and you are not, it makes you feel awkward. People might make fun of you. You know, we are in a generation that has no respect to purity and holiness. No respect. Instead, they make fun of that. They do not examine themselves for their filthiness. They do not feel ashamed for their iniquity. Instead, they make fun of you for your holiness, for your bravery to be different, for your spirit of holding your uprightness to the Lord. So you know what? This is the generation that you are facing. Doing the right thing but be made fun of. That's the generation we are facing. So what? So what? At the end of the day, you have to understand one thing. The Bible says that 审判我的乃是主, the one that judges me is the Lord. It's not your peer. It's not your friend. It's not your peer. You are not judged by your peer. So if they don't like you, so what? So what? It might be difficult. I don't know, because I don't have that problem. When I was in high school, I was a very cynical person, so I don't care about friends anyway. I think the term friends in high school is so lame. Seriously, that's how I feel. I feel that it's overrated, it's very lame, so I don't know what peer pressure is. In high school, for me, it's either you follow my way or you go on your own way. So I don't know what it feels like to be pressed by peer pressure. I really don't know. Maybe another reason I don't know about peer pressure is because I only got one friend in high school. But we're very close, though. We're very close. Now he's in Virginia. And the funny thing is, his wife from Taiwan, I mean, my only friend in high school who now working in Virginia, I found him the job. Okay, I found him the job. He working in Virginia, and not long ago, a while ago, that one of our church sisters from Washington, D.C. sent me a message and asked if I know this family. I was like, yeah, that's my high school friend. That's my only high school friend. And then she said that they just happened to meet online because she and his wife, they both are nurse. They happened to like find each other online, talking about nursing, and then start inviting her to come to church. And then that's how they found out that we have mutual friend, which is me. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe one day they will come to church. I brought my friend to church a few times in the past. But at that time, he feel that he's too young to believe in God. that he's more like into career, career, world career, fighting for a better future, those kind of things. Huh? So you never know. Maybe that's why. I don't really know what peer pressure is like. However, I know that if you don't really care that much, it shouldn't really bother you that much. It's not that important. For me, if a friend could not learn to respect me and cannot learn to respect my decision or my faith, then sorry, you are not my friend. And if you're not my friend, whatever you do, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt me anyway. The worst thing is that you have someone that do not care about you, do not show respect for your belief, do not uphold your value, and then you still trying very hard to hold them as your friend. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's why life becomes very difficult when you are trying so hard to be accepted by someone who doesn't respect you. Okay, so that's where this big mass peer pressure comes from. So I don't mind. There's nothing wrong to have friends. There's nothing wrong to want to be accepted. But please find someone worthy of your friendship. Begin with mutual respect. This is what I would leave it to you about high school. Okay? If they don't respect you, they are not a worthy friend. If they are not worthy friend, why do you allow them to bother you, pressure you? Okay? Now, we shall begin our class. Let's take a look. Let's turn to a Bible verse. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Great. I got 5 minutes. Actually, just continue telling the story, right? All right, Proverbs chapter 5. Oh, you know what? No. Let's do chapter 5 in the next class. Let's do another one. Let's do chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 21. Here says, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lip, she subdued him. Immediately, he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock. 23. Till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastened to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. All right, for this section, this is the verse I will leave it to you. And here it says that the world will try to lure you and subdue you. They will try to trap you so that you will yield and you will follow. Okay? This is a big problem in high school when we talk about peer pressure. They want to subdue. You know that in here, of course, it's talking about sexual immorality. Like people who try to lure you into sexual offense against God. That's one. However, that's not the only one. This one is big. This one costs your life. And here it says that he didn't know when, how, but it cost his life. And he died. Okay, so be careful. Sexual immorality, luring by relationship, influenced by your peer and friends, could have cost your life, could cost your spiritual life. So be careful with people that you hang out. But in here, there's one more point that he says that he subdued you and then you follow. You follow. There are differences. You can tell in high school and college, you can sort of tell how a young people going to grow up to be alike. What kind of person? They are so-called followers, but they are also leaders. The differences is not about their achievement in academic. It's not about their eloquency or ability. It's all about their mindset. Last class, we say attitude determine altitude. That's what we mean by mindset. There are people who are so easily influenced. So people say go, then they follow like a little tail. of the wiggling, like the wiggling tail of the dog. Now, wherever someone go, you just, let me go. Can I go with you, please? I will be your best friend. I will do whatever you ask me to do. You find this kind of people in school that always trying to be accepted, even at all costs. They are willing to submit in order to follow. So they are followers in school. And most likely, they will become followers in their future career. But the world look very little, look very low on the followers. If you are very easily persuaded, you don't have a very strong, clear mindset. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you should do. You are easily persuaded into something that you shouldn't or you don't want just to please others. You will be categorized into followers, aka losers. When we say leader, we are not talking about someone who's very strong-minded, someone overpower their will over others. No, we are talking about they are leader for their own life. They know very well when to do what. They know what they need to do, and they are not easily impacted. My college roommate is like this. My college roommate, we have a lot of friends who often not, I mean, he got a lot of friends. No, in high school I got one, but in college I got more. I got more friends in college. I got like three, okay? I mean, I don't count acquaintance as friends. For me, friend means you bond for life. So my college roommate, I knew him all these years. He lived in Flushing. Another friend of mine, since high school, in Virginia. And I have like three best friends. And one more, I knew her since third grade in Taiwan, still in contact. So for me, friendship, friend, this term means a lot. It's not just acquaintance like who you have on your Facebook. I know 1,000 people. How many are really your friend? Right? Like 10? Right? Like none? So you know what? When we talk about friend, I really mean someone close. Like for him, well, maybe we got friends. So, you know, there will be times that his close friend come and knock on the door and say, oh, let's go out, let's go have fun, let's go party, let's go play basketball, something like that. Sometimes he goes, sometimes he doesn't. How did he determine? It all depends on if he finished what he needs to do. If tomorrow got a test, if there's a project to be handling, if there is a meeting that he needs to attend, for him, it's all about what he needs to do. If he finished everything that he did, if he finished everything he needs to do and he wants to go, then he would. He doesn't get persuaded. You don't persuade, say, come on, go. And then, oh, okay. That's followers. You go when you want to go. You make your decision after you do your contemplation, you do your calculation. You know what you are doing. Very sound and clear. This is, if I go, this is the price I need to pay. If I go after analysis, you have to do self-analysis. Can I go? Am I ready? Have I prepared for my school, for whatever my responsibility is? And then after your careful calculation and self-assessment, you make decision whether you go or not. Not because someone tried to convince you to it. That's the differences between follower and leader. So I wish to see every one of you to become the leader of your life. Again, of course, we're not talking about like, oh yeah, God is your leader. We are talking about making decision other than pray and rely on God. Make sure that you are very careful with a clear self-assessment. You do things because you want to, not because you are pushed into or you are convincing to. Never be a follower that people say, go, then you go. People say, jump, then you say, how high? That's not the life that you should have. Okay? So by God's grace, that we should all become the leader that leading our own life to make sure that we walk on the right path of the Lord. Okay, let's all pray in silence.